Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I can't believe Philip Mewson plagiarized his own birth certificate. And with me, I have...
Dimension W? Nah. Dimension Z? Yeah.
And...
I'm the one that killed Manet, so what? Y'all motherfuckers.
Okay, first off, that's... Okay, that... So, in the same week, mayonnaise, and apparently now potatoes, which, okay, The Independent, where the fuck did you get that picture of, like, the potato with the mean beans in there? You know, from that page, things full of beans that should not be full of beans? Oh, God, that shit's fucking nasty, man. Like, we're talking black beans, hell yeah, stuff that shit up, make it all Cubano and fuck. Plus, that means you probably also murdered potato salad. Which, good. But why the fuck would I want something that takes 3 days to do right? The only thing that should take 3 days to do right is barbecue.
Slow roasted.
Nigga, to kill potato salad, at least kill the one that could have won the carrot cake with the ugly ass raisins and grapes, all that shit.
White people.
Stop putting that shit in there. It does not belong on no damn potato salad. Let niggas do the shit. Let us do the shit.
plus, like, it's fucking bullshit, because I use mayo all the time, because it goes well on BLTs. You know, a nice thing to, like, slather on the bread just to give it, like, you know, some moisture when you're crunching through the bacon. Plus, fucking, like, they put mayo and shit on fast food all the time, and I eat that shit.
Mm-hmm. I even put mayo with my salsa to make a nice burrito dip.
Okay, what? That's just fucking weird.
Hey, don't knock it until you tried it. Mix some mayonnaise with some salsa, get some frozen burritos, dip it in there, and it's delicious.
No.
You have to make up creative things when you don't have money. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, but there's creative, and then there's bullshit.
I'm white. We get it.
Yeah.
So episode 93.
93. So how's everything going with all y'all?
Let's see, where do I begin? So, funny story about my job. I went back to work last Wednesday, a week ago, only to be sent home because I was still feeling pretty sick. So I went to urgent care. Turns out I tested negative for strep throat. Mono, I don't know yet. I may have, norovirus still lingering in me. I haven't heard back yet. But, yeah, not fun. Not fun at all. So the next day, I went back to work, and I'm feeling kind of not too into it. I'm just feeling like, what am I doing here? Why am I wasting my time here? So, I quit. I wrote a resignation letter, I walked out, and I haven't been there back, and yeah, that's it. My job has started to become too detrimental for my health, so I just decided, yeah, this isn't worth it anymore. I might have a new job very soon if I can contact the right people soon enough, so I won't be out of work for too long because, like, you know, I gotta pay my bills and crap. And in the meantime, I've just been sulking in my ever-going, and I'll just quote Idos for this meme. I have crippling depression, which I do. It's not fun at all.
Right, I forgot.
I've been sulking in that with a good bit of music, mostly Devin Townsend in Between the Buried and Me, which it's a great Mr. Rec, fantastic album.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And aside from that, that's just all I've been doing for the past couple days. I live a very sad and pathetic life. Feel bad for me, damn it.
It's okay. We all do. Anyway, what about you, Mark?
Let's see. It rained. I work. My car's engine light is on again for some reason, even though I hear nothing unusual about it. It's like, it's that type of shit. It's like, okay, it's working fine, but why is the light still on? I mean, it's that shit that's been going on.
I see. Anyway, as for me, well, I had a bit of, you know, stuff going on. First off, I saw the Slender Man movie, and, you know, even as someone who recognizes that maybe his high school creepypasta phase was a little cringy, that movie was fucking insulting. Like, really lame and bad and misses the point of what made Slender Man work. Oh, man. Jeez, that's fucking... You know what? I should probably post, like, a link to it. You should see this great video review, like, by a bunch of guys who made a bunch of really popular Slender Man web shows way back in the day. Like, they all got together as, like, the biggest, most ambitious crossover event since the Avengers. And, you know, that pretty much tells you in more detail how and why the movie just doesn't work. Although, to be fair, slightly more memorable than that bullshit Marble Hornets movie. Slightly. It's not good, but it's technically more something.
I told you you should have went and gone to see Black Klansman instead.
Yeah, we know. Spike Lee and Jordan Peele. Woo. I mean, I got this weekend, so there'll be that. But anyway, next up, I finished my week of having to take care of my sister's boyfriend's cats, and I earned a cool $40 out of it. Not to mention plenty of cat pets and scritches, even though the black cat, Luna, she kept digging into my pants every now and then. My only good pants, too. I need those. And so with that money and some GameStop, you know, points I had saved up, I was able to pick up some games. So I finally got a copy of Red Dead Redemption, got me some Dragon Ball FighterZ, suck it, Jim, and some much-needed replacement styluses for my 3DS. Because seriously, I had to just keep relying on my Wii U stylus for that. So it's nice to have one that actually, you know, goes with this model and fits in the thing. You know, so I can finally just say I've had it with Persona Q and just switch on the safety mode because that final boss is a fucking bullshit. Whatever, but at least I finished that game, so now I can, you know, send that off to the magic rental place and then go on with the rest of my gaming life. And then, of course, we're recording this on Wednesday because on Monday, I had a show to play. Yeah, Monday night shows. But, you know, it was... you know, pretty cool. It was really, like, nice venue. Like, it sort of took place in this, you know, this bar, but the back room they had to play was, like, somewhat bigger than I was expecting in terms of just, like, capacity. Think of, like, one of those TGIF sitcom houses where the outside looks really small, but the inside, it's like, boom! And, you know, this venue was really nice. Shit, in the back, they had a few old arcade machines. One that had Street Fighter 2, one with Mortal Kombat 4, and a combo Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga machine. And they all were set to, like, unlimited free play. So I was like, yes! Not to mention, everybody in every band got, like, 2 free drink tickets. So, like, not per band, but per band member. So, you know, I had a drink before the show and a drink after the show, which, damn, that already makes it the best show I've played in a long-ass time. Gotta get that alcohol in me. You know, and it was enough alcohol that the morning after, I went for breakfast and got biscuits and gravy. Gravy. Or, you know, how Ed says gravy. I can't do the voice really well.
Gravy!
Sure, like that. Except, you know, whiter and dumber.
And more Canadian.
Canadians are weird. But, yeah, so all of that, pretty busy week going on, so sorry if this, you know, is coming in somewhat late. I got responsibilities, what can I say? And so, with all those formalities out of the way, time to get into the usual weekly business, starting off with, of course, the new song discussions, of which there are plenty. Remember to check the description for a playlist that you can hear all these songs, and then come back here and hear our takes. Or, you know, listen to our takes first, then hear the songs if any of this intrigues you. So first off, we have an update to one of the bigger musical memetic sagas of the year so far, and that is, of course, the relationship between Weezer and the band Toto. Starting off with the random Twitter campaign to get Weezer to cover Africa, which ultimately led to a cover of Rosanna, and then Africa. And then Toto returned the favor with some live performances of a Weezer cover, specifically the song Hash Pipe, which is one of the big singles off the Green album. Certainly an interesting choice of song, not the first I would have picked. I would have figured they covered, like, I don't know, God, what was that song off Pinkerton? El Scorcho, that was the one. But, you know, now we have an official studio version of that cover. So, you know, they found the time to get into the studio and record all that. And, you know, as much as it sounds like the original song, pretty much, in terms of its basic structure and everything and riffs, there's, you know, some of those bongo accentuations in the drum pattern, like, soft, but just enough that you notice it. There's, of course, those added layers of Toto synthesizers. The vocals sound somewhat better, because, I mean, this is one of those songs where, like, Rivers vocally is kind of reaching a little bit higher than he can actually reach. So, you know, having people that can reach that vocal level is certainly an improvement, but overall, I mean, it's basically Toto covering Weezer. Just like how Weezer was covering Toto, sounding like Weezer covering... You get the point. I'm going in circles right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid cover, even if it does just sound like Toto playing a Weezer song like it's by Weezer. But I suppose, you know, quid pro quo, cover for a cover, it's pretty good. I do want to know a couple things. One, the single art that they put up there for, you know, the Spotify Apple Music link, it pretty much looks just like the art style of the Green album. Which, okay, that's cool. And I also want to mention Toto. These guys, you know, the Africa, Rosanna people, they dipped into prog rock on their album Mindfields. It is excellent. Go listen to it. Recommended.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Anyway, moving on to this next song here. So, we're going to talk about my favorite Joey in the whole world. That's right, Joey Perp! What, did you think I was going to say something else? There are other... I mean, what, you think there's, like, a Joey Joe store yet? We haven't gotten an Australian JoJo yet, please. Maybe in part 9. But yes, Mr. Joseph Purple, apparently he's been bandying about a new project that he may release... sometime. It's we don't know shit yet, but he has graced us with a Lucy track here called March 12th. And, you know, last any of us heard was from, you know, his Eye Drops mixtape and that Adult Swim single. But this one here, it's the beat is very sparse, but it's got like a lot of like warbled twinkling melodies to it against a sort of clickety clackety boom bap drum beat. And, you know, there's basically that, you know, just offering enough space for him to spit bars, which, you know, she offered me brain, I said I'd rather have her mind, so, you know, your mileage will vary. I think it's an okay song, but not the best I've heard from him. It's just kind of there, I suppose.
Yeah, this track is it's pretty alright. I mean, I ain't heard from him in a while, and... And like I say, I dig the beat of it, and like I do dig how like in there he does, he does have this more more urgent voice in him, like he has something to tell you, like he's like here like if I didn't rap and then start singing songs, but when they give me daps, can I tell that something's wrong? It's on the eyes, man. These niggas lies, man. I heard from a wise man. Don't trust a wise man. Offer my money. Said she rather had time, man. All right. That was some good spitting, but it's like, the track's it's fine. It's fine. It's by fine as in it's good. Like I listened to it again, maybe a couple times, but yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. But now let's move on to some more Alice in Chains. We're about at this point a week and a half away from their newest album, Rainier Fog. So, you know, August 24th, keep an ear out for that. So, and we have the third single from the album, Never Fade. And I gotta admit, of the three, this one feels like it's the most like super mainstream radio single of the three. Hell, it almost kind of reminds me of Check My Brain off of Black Gives Way to Blue. I mean, it's a pretty like straightforward kind of pseudo grungy garage rock sort of thing. And, you know, it works okay for what it is, but I will say the vocal performances here are pretty damn good. And finally, it seems like we get much more William Duvall on this, and he carries himself pretty well, especially during, like, some of those pre-chorus segments where, you know, he seems to get, like, more of a presence in the mix than even Cantrell does. Though Cantrell does still take over in the main chorus, so, you know, there's that. But still, it's much appreciated overall.
Yeah, I said the same thing. It definitely comes off as more of a... upfront active rock single than the previous two tracks you've heard. And yeah, it's a bit more upbeat than the previous two tracks, but there's still a tight groove to it that works really well, even if it does sort of meander about in the ending, being a little too repetitive for my taste. But considering some of the crap plaguing active rock radio right now, a song like this is well welcome. Please kick Ivan Moody's bitch fit off of the chart, Alice in Chains. That crap is at number 3!
We beg you.
Yeah, Luke is not going to be happy when he has to do Billboard Got Rocked next month.
No, he will not. Anyway, let's move on from the grunge to the grind. We have the second single from grindcore act Pig Destroyer's newest album, Headcage, of course coming out first week of September, and this one is called The Torture Fields. And, you know, I feel like this track as a single was chosen specifically because of all the people who heard Army of Cops and were like, this doesn't sound like Pig Destroyer, get out of here. I mean, this one opens, it's a pretty steady but still, like, pummeling groove where, like, the drum fills are, like, seriously, like, fucking dense as hell. Like, I don't know how many fucking takes it took to get this to the version that it is with just how much, like, rhythmic switch-ups and, like, fill details there are. But, you know, it maintains that, you know, steady pace, but then there's, of course, that brief break and then gets immediately into, you know, the more primo Pig Destroyer, you know, grinding, you know, fast blast beats and fucking, like, rapid-fire guitar riffs and everything. You know, it's all fucking fast and aggressive, coated with just those layers of those fucking gnarly, grindy vocals and everything. And, of course, there's that pretty gnarly, like, ending, you know, breakdown and everything. This is definitely more intense overall, and just, God, this album's gonna be so good, y'all. It's gonna be fucking grind, man. We need the grind!
Yeah, this song is a case of, well, that escalated quickly, didn't it? Pretty good stuff, and it just hits real hard with that first switch up to that first super insane blast beat section. I'm impressed. Keep it up, guys.
And so, moving on from that to some electronic here. So, yes, as we mentioned a week, or perhaps 2 weeks ago, I'm not exactly sure on the precise time frame, Aphex Twin had teased the announcement of a new EP called Collapse, which was supposed to air with a premiere video on Adult Swim, but sadly getting pulled because it didn't pass the Harding test. You know, lots of potential to trigger seizures with all its, like, you know, imagery and everything, supposedly. But the video did make its way online, and with it, the announcement of the actual EP, Collapse, coming out September 14th. And the track in question is, well, it's titled T69 Collapse, which, first off, nice. And, yeah, I suppose that's to be expected. And first I'll say, yeah, I could definitely see why this didn't make it to television. Man, there's a...
Yep.
There is some shit that happens in this video. Fucking the constant pulsating and strobing. And, like, pretty much right away it starts with not just, like, rapid-fire, like, lighting scheme changes, but the fact that you see, like, these CG buildings with the rapid, like, you know, scrolling lines of code, that it's just kind of a strain on the eyes. And then as the cityscapes start to, like, you know, go all Inception or Doctor Strange, they all just kind of, like, fold and pulsate into one another, like, just booming like a boombox, which, that's basically what that album art and all those images are. It's basically, like, you know, the effect of, like, a sonic reverberation pushing up against the Aphex Twin logo. And so, you know, yeah, probably a good idea to keep this out of the way.
Yeah,
you don't know any better.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, as for the song itself, it's certainly every bit as, you know, all over the place as the actual video is. You know, there's a lot of, like, clicking percussive elements, the rapid, you know, kick drum parts, the saturated, you know, bass synth in there. There's kind of this soft, numbing synth melody that's kind of played out in the background. There's a couple of beat switch-ups in there, especially, like, in the middle where everything gets, like, super glitched out, like, with all the bleeps and blips and, you know, the rest of the synth melodies and everything. But then eventually, like, the outro gets to, like, this nice, still with, like, the, you know, the sort of choppiness and, like, IDM, you know, stuff, but, like, the melody still goes back to being, like, you know, nice to listen to. It certainly sounds like Aphex Twin, and, new album when? I mean, we already have the EP, but come on, man, give us the goods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, and, regarding that video, Yeah, I can say, yes, there are some pretty heavy strobe lighting effects here that definitely wouldn't pass for TV, and I'll be honest, I pretty much had to turn away from most of this because the flashes were straining my eyes, and I'm watching this in a well-lit setting, so yeah, pretty bad.
My eyes!
Yeah. Song itself, though, is great. Yeah. I can't wait for more.
So, I mean, so yeah, song is great. That video gave me the fucking chills. Like, when when I watch it, I feel like a sudden chill just went in my body. Like, this is some very trippy shit. This is not a good thing to watch if you're high. If you are high, you shouldn't watch this. Or if you do watch it, you're high. Prepare to get more fucked up than usual.
Yes, this is true. This is very true. Anyway, you know, while we're on the subject of Adult Swim, which, now that I think about it, technically started with Joey Perp and continued with Pig Destroyer, let's talk about another veteran of Adult... Let's talk about... Not another veteran. Well, yes, another veteran. Anyway, Adult Swim singles, Ryan Hemsworth. He was on that shit in 2016, and he's apparently prepping a new album called Elsewhere coming out September 21st. And so we have the new track from him, this one called Think About You, which happens to feature a very familiar face of all people, Joji. Yeah, yep. He's here on this. And, you know, pretty much all I have to say is that, you know, it's a very delicate, soothing song. Lots of, you know, twinkly melodies. It sounds very pleasant. And, you know, Joji's vocals on it. Hell, it certainly does sound like a Joji track. So, you know, delivers what's promised.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, basically what he said. Like, this is a very chill track. And yeah, and especially how there's a track for Ryan Hemsworth since the last track I heard from him, which we covered like a long time ago, which wasn't that good. I don't remember what it was, but it was like way back in maybe the early days. But yeah, this track is pretty solid.
All right, and oh boy, more Adult Swim singles veterans, and this one from one who was on the most recent one. Alright, so electronic producer The Field, they also have a new album coming out September 21st called Infinite Moment. The lead-off single from the album, which we have here, is called Who Goes There, and this one is 9 minutes. Clearly, this is a man who likes to take his time with drawing out song ideas. And when we say drawn out, well, that's pretty much it. Like, okay, so pretty much what you get from the start is like these... there's these long droning vocal samples, this sort of pulsating kick drum with a somewhat off-kilter rhythm. You know, there's this sort of stuttering synth melody underneath all that, you know, where the tones of it somewhat change on occasion, but it's only really switching between like two long form patterns. And it pretty much just bears that part out for like the whole 9 minutes. Hell, it feels like listening to one song three times in a row, pretty much, to the point where it just numbs you and it begins to take over and consume your very being. Yeah, it's alright, I guess. I liked it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's pretty cool. Really cool. Like, I did the way that it starts off with that very quiet, summer, like, stuttering beat, and then when it gets, like, 4 minutes in, the percussion does kick in. And also, I noticed that, I don't know if it's my headphones, my earbuds, because I'm cheap. I don't know if I hear something clicking. I don't know if it's part of the song, or is it my earbuds, or I'm confused. It's like, I don't know if it's, you know, the aesthetic. Or just me being cheap.
The A word. Well, you know, probably. When this thing, like, numbs on you for so long, something's bound to slip through the cracks. Anyway, let's move on from that to... Oh, hey, look, we got another song from that their periphery side project thing, named after a unit of time. What's it called? 2 weeks ago?
You're a little off.
7 centuries ago?
Colder.
A nanosecond ago?
It's 4 seconds ago,
trolling. What, you're not going to take over here?
Oh, I was waiting for my cue.
You can just take over on your own, man. You're a big boy, I assume.
Okay. Okay. I'll put on my big boy pants one arm at a time. So, yes. The latest cut from Misha Mansoor and Jake Bowen's electronic project 4 Seconds Ago is out, entitled Galaxy. And we also have not only an album title, but a release date. Their first album, The Vacancy, will be out on September 28th, and it will feature a lot of atmospheric electronic goodness, such as with this track, as I mentioned, Galaxy. Very atmospheric, with a lot of pendulum-style electronics all over, really big with ambient soundscapes, from the vocals to the sort of hushed guitars laying in the background on top of layer upon layer upon layer of beautiful electronic synth work. And there's even a little bit of a synthwave vibe in the background.
And dude, I said the same thing! Track.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this is catching on.
Like, literally, the second it opens up, I was like, synthwave, you say? It sounds more like one of the calmer tracks on, like, a Dan Terminus album, pretty much. Just, you know, layered with all those periphery-isms. All the lush layered melodies, you know, the kick-heavy drum beat, the bass synths that have enough body to them to, you know, feel like an actual bass guitar is in there. It sounds, you know, pretty much like periphery interludes and shit, all stretched out into one long song.
Mm-hmm. Certainly welcome from me. I'm sure the rest of the album will be just as interlude-y and atmospheric and synth-wavy and crap.
Anyway, moving on from ambient electronic to in-your-face, you know, rock, rap, fusion thingies. So yes, we're once again talking about Mr. Tom Morello dropping his solo album, The Atlas Underground, in October 12th, and we finally have the track that we all wanted to hear, the song Rabbit's Revenge, which features production from Bass Nectar, and guest verses from Big Boy, and of course, one half of RTJ, I'm Glad Reagan's Dead, Killer Mike.
So,
Yeah,
this track is pretty much banging, because you hear, like, Big Boy and Kelly to talk a lot of shit, especially around black discrimination, like the stuff happened with people like Sandra Bland, Ferguson, and, you know, all the shits that going around the world, considering all the shit that's happening, and with these lyrics, they become especially Killer Mike on this verse. I mean, in the second verse where it says, "Fight for my life like a motherfucking Trayvon, fight for my life like a motherfucking Mike Brown, because I feel to be the next nigga shot down." They put some real shit in there, and I mean, it's Civil War, but it's definitely not hard hitting shit. It is hard hitting shit, but it's some pretty rocking shit. Like it's on there, and with Bass Nectar's production, it's all right. It's a pretty solid track.
See, this is how good Prophets of Rage would sound if they didn't have their heads up their ass.
That's what I said. I was listening to this and wondering, why does Prophets of Rage exist again? Because this just blows it way out of the water.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. Anyway, for this next track, I'm just going to let Mr. Mark take over here, since this was something he brought to all our attention, so he has the floor.
Okay, so we got this new track, even though it's more about the future artist. This man by the name of David Loca, a.k.a. David Speck, who's also known as Part Time, who's making a bunch of like 80s weird pop for some time now, and he teamed up with another weird pop auteur, a dude by the name of Ariel Pink.
Hey, yep.
So yeah, they both team up and he got a new album out called Spell Number 6, November 2nd. That's due out, and he got a song called I Can Treat You Better. And this song got this very synthwave 80s style song, which this is some 80s shit right here from the very murky lo-fi sound to the chorus of "I can treat you better, I can treat," with, you know, the very siffy soft rock type of shit with very good sax solo. Like, okay, I see what this guy's doing, and know me like Ariel Pink. I mean, I did put his album on my best of list last year. All right, I'm liking this. Got some good shit out there.
I don't really have much to add other than it's certainly some very soothing indie rock with those touches of psychedelia.
Yep.
And anyway, speaking of which, so this next one here. So earlier in the year, January, there was a new album from the experimental pop act Tuneyards, which I said was one of my top favorite picks of that month. You can check out that album roundup for that review and everything. And it turns out that's not the only thing they were getting up to this year, as they were also contracted by Mr. Boots Riley to do some, or maybe all, I'm not sure which, but they certainly contributed a significant amount of music to his big breakout film, Sorry to Bother You. And I pretty much knew that as soon as I heard Meryl Garbus' voice in those TV commercials, because I know that voice when I hear it, which is interesting because that song, that album also had a couple of songs having to deal with, you know, sort of the whole white person voice motif thing that shows up a lot in the movie. But anyway, turns out, like, following the actual, like, festival premiere of the movie, these, Meryl and her, you know, songwriting partner in 2 Yards hooked up with the film star Lakeith Stanfield, who apparently actually does have a rap career of sorts. Mm-hmm. You know, he's part of, God, I wish I jotted down the name of the project here, Moors, I think it is?
Yep.
I forgot to get that name, but yeah, apparently Lakeith Stanfield raps, you know, more than just, like, the rap he does, like, in the movie, which I'm not gonna repeat because I'm white. But, yeah, the two have teamed up together on a new track called Mango. And, again, it very much touches on some similar themes, sort of similar to what you see in the movie. Like, there's definitely a lot about, you know, preserving his black identity in, you know, the face of American capitalism, colonialism. And, you know, there's some, you know, good bars in there, especially, like, how he's not going to get on the frickin' boat. You know, good for you. Don't get on those fucking boats. I hear there's shitty rappers on there. And, you know, while it has a different vibe from the sort of stuff that I would normally expect from Tuneyards, you know, this one sounds like a very sort of grimy boom-bap aesthetic, but with Meryl's vocals in the background and certainly some more exotic percussion in the actual instrumentation, it, you know, it almost sort of, like, fits with what we would expect from them pretty much. And, you know, I'm intrigued. I want to see where this goes.
Okay, like, I ain't got much to say on this, but this is also a pretty solid and weird as fuck track. And what? I have Keith Stanford rap before, at least in some parts. But this was interesting seeing him on the mic and the dude spit some good bars. I'm curious. I like this.
And now to go to the opposite of I like this, and to close things out here, Kanye West.
Oh, so we're not going to talk about that 23-minute Dave Grohl prog rock instrumental?
Dude, I didn't even listen to it.
And yet you listened to this.
Look, I'm kind of annoyed with Dave Grohl right now, to be honest. Just a little, because of that last album. So you'll have to forgive me if I don't want to listen to 23 minutes of him. Plus, I had a busy week, okay? You know, I got stuff to do. But first off, why is it that it's okay for Kanye West to say he loves Pornhub and he gets premium membership, but when I say that I love Pornhub, all I get told is, "Sir, please leave. You're harassing the customers at this Jersey Mike's." Jeez. But yes, it appears Kanye dropped a pseudo meme track called XTCY, which, you know, the beat again is the best part as always. But he raps about wanting to, like, masturbate and fuck his sisters-in-law or whatever, and something about recording himself having sex with women, which I'm pretty sure is illegal in the state of California. Also, more fucking scoop de whoop de poop, because, you know, that was so amusing the first time. Blah.
So yeah, my thoughts on this. That's all I got.
Yes, that is indeed all we got. End this with a whimper instead of a bang.
I mean, the beat's good, though.
Of course, the beat's always good. And, yeah, that basically does it for the new song discussion, so we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we got a couple of news topics to discuss here, so, stay tuned, kids. And we're back. We only have two real news topics to discuss here because, you know, again, we're recording this kind of late, so I want to at least be able to get it out in decent time. So let's start off with something of perhaps a big one. I assume we're all thoroughly annoyed after that recent report that most musicians only make 12% of streaming revenue.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that sucks.
How disheartening. But it seems Spotify still has some big business moves they're trying to play. Turns out in the past week, they announced a new, quote, long-term partnership with, of all companies, Samsung, the electronics manufacturer that I'm sure makes some of our phones. I mean, I'm rocking my Samsung Galaxy S7 right here. So, you know, as part of this...
explode!
No. That's the Note 7. Oh. They're different. And I'm not sure what the difference is, other than the explodey part, but I know there is a difference, and that matters. But yes, starting, you know, now, Spotify is going to become the go-to music provider across all Samsung devices. This partnership is going to go, you know, more full into effect with the upcoming line of Samsung Galaxy S9 smartphones, where Spotify will be pre-installed as the default music streamer. This, of course, includes other devices like the Galaxy Home smart speaker and integration with Samsung's voice assistant, Bixby. Wow, is that really the name?
Bixby?
Damn, that's sad. Like, okay, I know you can't exactly match stuff that's as iconic as Siri or as slick and sexy sounding as Alexa and Cortana, but Bixby? Isn't it after the dude that played the Hulk in the 70s? Why? My
brother named Bixby. Oh, Bixby! That's my old ass butler.
It's like, hey, Bixby, can you tell me where I kept my blue potato chips? You left it in the sink, not here in the fridge. Thanks, Bixby. Jeez.
You know, I tend to follow a lot of tech news because I've always been a techie kind of guy. I don't really see what the point of this is. I mean, okay, so Spotify will be the default music player for Samsung devices. I don't really get why that has to be a thing, but apparently if they want more money, I suppose that'll work. I guess it'll work well with Samsung since they got that, that Fortnite deal going on. But...
oh, yeah, you know, yeah. The thing that you can't cross-play on PS4.
Yeah. Isn't that something for Samsung? Timed exclusivity. I don't really get the point of that either, but... hey, what do I know? I'm not the one trying to follow Apple in every step. I see you, Samsung. I see you.
You know, you say that, but honestly, I prefer using Samsung devices, at least if we're talking on the smartphone, you know, side to that fucking iPhone piece of shit. Look, I'm sorry. I need, like, an actual set of buttons, whether physical or not, to interact with a phone more than just the one, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fucking... but it's like a baby toy.
But at least mine won't explode in my pants.
Again, that's the Note 7.
Oh,
I have the Galaxy S7.
Yeah. It's still funny.
But, you know, there's one thing that I am interested here you know, if you spent any amount of time watching, like, you know, cellular plan, you know, smartphone advertisements and anything, there's almost, like, at least half the time, there's always some kind of deal to hook you up with either unlimited data or, like, you know, free paid accounts on, like, streaming services. Like, I think it's either Verizon or Sprint that gives you, like, free Netflix if you, like, sign up for, you know, a cellular plan with them and their smartphones.
That's actually T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, that's what it was. I knew it was one or the
T-Mobile
other.
T-Mobile gives you Netflix. Sprint gives you Hulu and Tidal, which nobody uses Tidal.
But I bring that up because I wonder if this partnership, you know, you talk about the money thing, but I wonder if this, in a roundabout way, will promise perhaps free, you know, Spotify premium for Samsung smartphone users and, you know, subscribers to, like, AT&T mobile plans. I mean, they already do that thing where, like, Hulu and Spotify come together on a package deal, so, you know, it can't be that difficult to extend it that far. And plus, that would work out, you know, great for me, you know, because I already pay for Spotify premium and my main mobile device is a Samsung, so.
I suppose we'll see in the coming weeks of anything that'll come out of this partnership. But who knows? They might combine Spotify Premium and Fortnite V-Bucks because Samsung makes really weird business decisions. I still don't understand why they have time exclusivity for it. It doesn't make sense. What gives?
I don't know, man. I don't make the rules. Do I look like a business expert? That's your job, man.
Well, yeah, for music, not tech.
Like all of a sudden you're not interested in tech or anything.
Oh.
You're like the techiest guy on this podcast.
All I'm saying is, I don't know how all this business transaction bullcrap happens or how it operates. It baffles me. I'm into music. That's what I've studied. I didn't study tech business.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move on from that to our other news topic here, which is a festival announcement. And, from Felicia the Goat himself, Tyler the Creator has announced the latest iteration of the Camp Flognaw Carnival, taking place November 10th through 11th in good old Dodger Stadium. I mean, they gotta be doing something. What, you think sports teams play games there? Heh.
Yeah, it's a dump anyway.
Pretty much. And so, you know, the lineup, of course, with Tyler the Creator. I'm actually trying to understand, like, the layout of this fucking poster here, because it looks like it's doing an hourglass thing with, like, the most important information centered in the middle, but then, like, there's still some prominent names, like, you know, at the bottom and at the, you know, top. Plus, Tyler the Creator isn't even the dead middle name.
Yeah.
Hell, the dead middle name here, like, right at the center. Kids See Ghosts, you know, that Kanye Kid Cudi project, you know, performing live for the first time.
Yep.
There's that. Searching around that, of course, we have the Saucy Postman.
But will he bring his letter?
I don't know, will he? We have the Miseducation of Miss Lauryn Hill.
I hope she shows up.
Yes, of course. We, of course, have SZA. You know, that's always good to see. ASAP Rocky. The Internet. Brockhampton. Kali Uchis. Right. Jaden Smith. Hashtag Free Earl Sweatshirt. Rex Orange County. Men I Trust. There are none. Domogenesis. Slow Hollows. Left Brain. So, you know, already we're getting a good amount of Odd Future alumnus here. Hell, they apparently did, like, a brief reunion for a song thing at a concert recently, so maybe, who knows? Hobo Johnson.
Who's he?
What the fuck is a Hobo Johnson?
Hobo Johnson, the Lovemakers.
Yeah, they make love to their body pillows, all right. Of course, Mike G, Plus Sounds. Hang on. Turnstile? Like, that Turnstile? What, are you guys not on speaking terms with Trash Talk anymore? Come on. So, yeah, there's the, you know, immediate, like, sticks out like a sore thumb. And now we're moving up to the top half of this hourglass here. Tierra Whack, Ravina, Taco.
Hey!
Who I assume is just going to scream about cheese. Wallows, Bane's World, Raphael Sadiq, Majid Jordan, Flatbush Zombies, Little Dragon, Billie Eilish. Oh, so that's how you spell Georgia Smith.
Yeah.
Shit, I have to correct a typo in one of the album roundups. Shit. Then, of course, Playboy Cardi, Virgil Abloh, and Pusha T. So, you know, there's some good names in here. There's some bad names in here. There's the Postman. Seems like it'll be a fun carnival, you know, for those who enjoy at least half the stuff here. I mean, I want to go for Brockhampton. Yeah, Pusha. That'd be cool, man.
Might be the first and only time anybody will ever get a chance to see Kid Cudi and Kanye perform on the same stage at the same time.
Yeah, and the majority of acts I do want to see. Like, you don't want to see, like, you know, people like Tyler the Internet, SZA, Pusha, Little Dragon, Flatbush. Basically most of the motherfuckers.
You don't want to see Hobo Johnson make love?
I don't know who the fuck that is.
I think we'd all much rather see Ants in My Eyes Johnson.
Oh, I'm Ants in My Eyes Johnson. I hope her prices are not too low. $100 for this microwave. I think I actually don't know. I have Ants in My Eyes, and I can feel no pain, but that's not as catchy.
Rick and Morty references. But anyway, that's it for the news, so let's just talk about the new album releases for this week of August 17th, 2018. Starting at the top, there is a new solo album from Slipknot DJ Sid Wilson, Sexcapades of the Hopeless Robotic.
Ooh.
There's a new album from Indie Rockers Animal Collective with Tangerine Reef. The newest one from Savannah Metalers Black Tusk with TCBT. Of course, prepare to get laid by Danny Sexbang and murdered by Ninja Brian, because there's a new Ninja Sex Party album, Cool Patrol.
Hi.
There's a new album from Indie Rockers Death Cab for Cutie with Thank You for Today. Oh, and speaking of Ryan Hemsworth, there's a new Mitski album this week, Be the Cowboy.
Okay.
There's a new project from OCs with Smote Reverser. Steflon Don releasing her debut mixtape Secure.
Let me guess.
Lil Pump with Harvard Dropout, which you fucking wish, pal.
No.
I'm closer to being a Harvard dropout than you. You're a fucking clown college dropout.
You don't get to rip off the good era of Kanye. No, no, no.
Bro, Kanye is closer to being a Harvard dropout than you. Come on. And then, you know, just as a reference, I probably should have jotted down a name for this, but apparently there's a new Young Thug album coming out this Friday. Or tape, or whatever it is. I didn't get the name of it, but, you know, you have that to look forward to if you give a shit about Young Thugamane.
I found it. That would be Slime Language. And screw you, Complex, for not loading. There we go. Yeah, and it will be coming out actually Thursday, so it might be out right now when you're listening to this.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to have some good features, including, hey, Uzi, haven't seen you in a while.
Oh. Yeah, and last but certainly not least, or maybe least, I don't know, the newest studio album from Ariana Grande with Sweetener. So, of course, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, wherever you find me on the internet. That is, if you haven't been purged by Jack and his criminal gang doing some purging. Seriously, all you had to do was get rid of the Nazis, Jack. It's all you had to do.
Mark, what about you?
So, as usual, on Twitter at MacTavernMedia and on my site, my 911.com. WordPress.com, and of course, I just crossed over 100, well, right now 101 recaps of Bearcat Bears, and that's the one today, especially where episode where, no joke, someone said Charlie as a Yowie. Spell Y-O-W-I-E.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, as in like that. Also,
something about an Australian trap rapper.
The word trap is used so many times in that episode. I keep thinking it's going to a mixtape.
So you're saying they bees into trap? Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Curious Cat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for any offers and inquiries and all that stuff. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Well, this one's probably going to go up on Thursday. Video usually goes up by, you know, the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you'll always be notified whenever new episodes of the podcast go up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Surreal Rezo. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit SurrealResolution.com. And, of course, decibelboost.surrealresolution.com. I usually do that smoothly for this podcast specifically. And of course, Podcast ONA, which is our anime podcast. How to go with the B team.
Yeah.
How to go with the B team, man.
Yeah. Apparently, it turned out better than I thought, but again, I'm a perfectionist, so, you know, I tend to get a little personal when it comes to my work not being 100% good.
Golf claps. Anyway, be sure to follow our written content. You know, got all that good stuff. Attack on Titan recaps. Hopefully I'll get an album review out sometime in the next week or so. And, of course, Mr. Mark over here has, you know, taken a bullet for the team with that new Nicki Minaj project.
Yeah. Spoiler, it's going to be dethroned.
So what you're saying is it's not good?
Bro. It's not good.
Anyway, be sure to jump into our Discord if you ever want to dank it up with us and make fun of that Mucin guy. Seriously, fuck that guy. As always, huge shout out to Mr. E for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. Be sure to tune in, you know, next week as always for episode 94. And until next time. You know, screw this. I want some biscuits and gravy. I'm out of here, bitch.
Oh, the VMAs are next week. Oh, shit.
On Monday, for some reason.
Fuck. Fuck.